This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad. On Joy 94.9.
Queer women, like, we should be giving each other these opportunities to make this money, because how else are we ever going to survive and thrive and all these things? The site is staying up, but, you know, there's no full-time editor. And as of now, no queer women actually writing for it.
Wow.
I will be devastated because there is all of this, you know, the only place where some of this is documented is After Ellen. You know, our television and film and just any sort of, like, representation that we've had, you know, since 2002. Yeah.
Okay. And when you look at the general manager, and it's called Totally Her Media, it just, it just seems really weird.
Revolutionary, rash, outraged, organized, assertive, activist, days.
Broad.
On Joy 94.9.
You know, sometimes it's treated like a dirty word. I think it's like when you look on Instagram or Tumblr sometimes, if you type in lesbian, it'll say not safe for work automatically.
So yes, very well excited to talk to you, but it would be nicer if it was better times. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Yes.
So a lot has happened. I'll just introduce our show. I'm Sonia from Broad. It's a feminist woman's show, queer woman's show, here on Joy 94.9 in Australia, in Melbourne. And
awesome.
Yeah, it's been a very busy, crazy week. We had a bomb threat.
Did you see that? Are you okay?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's the plebiscite. I don't know if you've heard much about that, where they're going to vote on whether we have a right to have, you know, same-sex marriage, same-sex equality.
Equal marriage, yeah, totally. It's very exciting. How are you feeling about it? You think it's going to go your way?
Well, it really depends. And unfortunately, there's a lot of very strong religious interests, like you would have over there too, that are pretty conservative. So they have the ear of some of the population and a lot of influence. But you guys have been there, so you know what I mean.
Fingers crossed for you. Fingers crossed. I've been keeping up with a lot of... you know, when I would do my morning brews, there would always be news out of people, you know, like Magda and Penny Wong and people that were speaking up for, you know, equality and making the greatest, strongest of points. And I can only hope that people are paying attention to them.
Exactly. Yes. Well, we've got to keep going and not let the naysayers and the very negative, nasty people try to stop us, really. You know, we'll stay on air and keep talking.
Yep.
About the things that matter, including what has happened, including what is happening over there for you. Well, for the online community, and that is, of course, the big news. I'm sure you're not totally sick of talking about it. Hope not.
You know, I'm happy the conversation is happening about the loss of lesbian spaces in general. So I don't mind talking about that because it's very important. You know.
Good. Good. Yes. So what's happened is After Ellen, the online media space, the pop culture space, where a lot of people get their news from, or entertainment news in any case, and like to keep in touch with what's going on, whether it's a TV show with queer women in it, or whether it's, you know, an awards show, or whatever it might be, what is happening out there in the environment. It's now threatened, and something quite disturbing happened on Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday of this week. Can you tell us a bit about what happened there, Trish?
Sure. Well, essentially, I have been working at After Ellen for 10 years, and I've been through two different owners now. So when I first started, it was at Viacom, and then a property called Evolve Media purchased the site 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the last 2 years, when I've been editor-in-chief, I've been under evolve. And I have to say, like, when I first started, I was working under a really fantastic woman who was my, just like a champion of mine and after Ellen, and just so fantastic to work with. And sadly, she retired a couple of months ago. So I haven't really had a really strong point of contact with the company since. And the company is, and I think it's an important distinction to make, that they are, it is, you know, straight men that run the company, that, you know, run the women's site. So it was a surprise to receive a call that basically told me this Monday that the site will remain up with its archives intact and possible freelance content in the future, but no real plan for what that looks like at the time being, and that I will no longer be an editor. There will no longer be any full-time or part-time editors involved with it. So essentially, I was laid off, but also the most important thing to me was that the site was no longer going to have the content that it did every day for LGBT women that they've come to expect for 10 years. So that was what happened initially on Monday.
Quite shocking. Some of the articles, I mean, The Advocate was one of them. I was a bit surprised that they ran with the story, and very much on the side looking at the issues of, yes, our female space, LGBTIQ women's space, and where has it gone with SheWired no longer, you know, doing what it used to do as well, and that used to be a very good site.
Yeah.
There's so few left. I mean, there's Auto Straddle, which is kind of, you know, something at least, and can't think of too many others left now. Perhaps Bust.
I mean, it's mostly a lot of sites that are greater women's sites, like feminist sites that are inclusive of queer women. Like there's one that's called The Establishment. That's fantastic. Everyday Feminism also is very queer women inclusive, but you're right. There's not a lot of spaces dedicated specifically to LGBT women and their voices and run by LGBT women. And, you know, there are some like regional publications, like there's a really nice one out of DC, but yeah, like you're saying, you know, in as far as international too, because I've heard from a lot of international readers who, you know, it's not safe where they live to be out or have a community. So, you know, it's very heartbreaking to me to read those stories and from people who are essentially losing something that they clung to.
Yes, it was something that, like Morning Brew was great. It usually came out in the evening here, but, you know, that's okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. You know, if the world was flat, it would probably be easier to do things time-wise. But, I mean, these are things that have been, and, you know, it's kind of like after Alan was, seriously, it was like the background soundtrack of what was going on. I mean, it always seemed to have the stories when, you know, your favorite actress came out finally, officially or whatever, you know, or a new movie that was coming out or a television series like Camilla or, you know, going right back, you know, those sorts of, it's quite shocking, really. It's quite disturbing.
Yes, it really is. I mean, I think it's still being, you know, I feel like I'm still processing it. I'm sure a lot of people are still processing it. There will be people that don't know, like maybe they just, you know, have no idea what's going on and are still going to visit the site and still be a little confused about what's going on. So, I mean, that's what's heartbreaking, because it's been around for so long. And I think some people now think, oh, I took it for granted. And I don't want people to feel that way, because we had, you know, this was a shock to us all, and I don't think any of us really realized, just like when our favorite lesbian bar in our, you know, in our city closes, that we never really know exactly what's happening and where the support is needed. Yeah.
And then when it's gone, there's nowhere to go.
That's it.
You know, that's it. There's,
right.
You know, this happens. It's been happening a lot, and I've noticed it here in Melbourne. There used to be a place called The Glass House, and it was, you know, it was like a fixture for women to go to, women who love women, bisexual women, pansexual, lesbians, everyone, queer women, trans women, to go along and, you know, kick back, eat burgers, drink beer, you know, and not think about the outside world. And then that went about 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's the hard part, is that when you go to any city, even if you're traveling, like I was recently in Miami, And I was with a couple other women, and we were like, where can we find lesbians? Where can we find ourselves? Where can we find our community? And,
relax.
We had to go to the guys' clubs and try to hope that there were any women. You know, it's hard. It's very difficult because we are just so wanting to be amongst ourselves. And if there's nothing, it feels like we're alone. But I know we're not.
So what do you think has caused, firstly, with After Alan, what do you know and what can you say about the main reason? It's about like a profitability, is that right? The advertising dollars not coming through. Was that the reason officially?
Yes. Officially told is that, you know, after 2 years of attempting to profit off in the LGBT space with marketing and advertising, that Evolve hadn't found a way to do it to the point where they could justify having, you know, myself on as full-time editor. They had let go my staff editor, Dana, a year before because they couldn't afford her. And so I think the problem is that they would rather not – basically how they explained it was they are not in a position right now to put more money into the site. They can keep it up as is, which is what they're doing. I don't know what the situation will look like now for freelancers. I know that they're trying to reach out to my freelancers, and I don't know if anybody is actually going to stay around. I mean, most of them have said they have no interest and have found some other homes, which I'm so happy about. Yes. So I don't know exactly who or what the content will look like there. All I know is that they were not able to profit off of After Ellen like they thought they could.
And I mean, I've just briefly looked at the article that's just come up in the last couple of hours or so, the Slate article by Christina Catarucci, What's Left for Queer Women After Alan. And she's brought up some interesting points there too, just about who they are marketing to. It's quite it's quite disappointing and quite depressing, to be quite honest, what she's sort of saying here in this article, that they seem to assume a lot of the straight or establishment of advertising bodies that gay men are far more likely to spend money or something and not gay or queer women. That's kind of strange.
That's the assumption.
Assumption, that's so, the word.
But it's crazy because I feel like there have been many studies done that have proven that, you know, a household of two women, especially I'll take two women household that don't have children, first of all. Are they spending money on tampons? Are they spending money on shampoo? All of these things that people advertise to women in general should be applicable to queer women. But for some reason, we are stuck in the in-between of the LGBT marketing, which are people trying to reach our community because they see it as spending money, but think that men are the ones that are, you know, in control, the ones that are, you know, spending all the fashion money and the travel money. Whereas lesbians, we love to travel. We spend money on all dining out there. Like, it's insane to me that people would assume otherwise. But the fact is, too, that I think people are missing out on coming to women directly if they're ignoring us as an entity, like a women's site, like any other site. I think it's bizarre for people to assume that we are any different from our heterosexual counterparts in terms of what we purchase, although I think we probably are just smarter about what we purchase. But we will really have brand loyalty. It's been proven we have brand loyalty. If you are marketing to us, if you are inclusive of us, then we will buy from you. So it's actually so much smarter to really try to reach out to us, I feel like. But I don't know where the disconnect is in people, you know, the advertisers versus the, you know, sales team from a place like Evolve.
Well, it feels like they're making these assumptions. It's coming from a stereotypical place, and that's not very promising at all for the future, if that's what they're, you know, gauging the marketability and where their money is coming from. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign for the future.
No, the stereotypes of, you know, gay men work for them and the stereotypes of lesbian women work against them. And I think that's really to our detriment. And I think that the only way things are going to change is if advertisers and marketers start putting, you know, an effort into actually reaching out to our community, then they would realize that we are actually worthy of it.
I'm pretty much the same as them. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? Like, eventually, not to be so included and part of the environment and landscape that, you know, it's not an issue any longer. What I find from my own personal experience is the fact that being almost invisible, and this sort of brings up that again, are we invisible as queer women, as lesbians?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, we just had the Emmys here. A bunch of very visible out women, Kate McKinnon, yes. Sarah Paulson, Jill Soloway, were up on the stage winning awards, thanking their partner, thanking Ellen DeGeneres, you know. And so arguably, we should be at an all-time high of visibility when we're on national, international television, you know, being able to thank our partners or be a part of queer television shows that are, you know, being rewarded for the kinds of content they're providing. But I think there's a disconnect with the fact that a lot of us are not really identifying so much anymore. I think the lack of having a lesbian identity, I think a lot more women are more prone to say, not even necessarily identify as queer, but, you know, they don't want a label or they're, you know, they feel themselves fluid. And I completely understand that in terms of, you know, they don't want a label. But I think it also makes it difficult to market to people that don't have a very specific identity to target. I think it's almost like a disservice to ourselves in a way when we are so vague in about some things. And I think that maybe it's going to take, you know, the greater world a little bit of time to catch up to us culturally, politically. And so, you know, maybe our being so progressive isn't going to benefit us from the beginning, but, you know, hopefully they will catch up and start to realize, you know, that these things, they don't make us, you know, 100% of who we are, but they are a large part of who we are. And the way that we do decide to spend the money that we make or how we make our money. There's so, I mean, there's a lot of things that are informed by our identities, but if you can't necessarily give it a label, I think it's really hard for some people like middle America to wrap their minds around.
Yes. Yeah, it is. They're probably still wondering about Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, you know, they're still probably going, what's that about? You know, that's still there, isn't it? And also, it's a bit like having different languages and different dialects. It's like you can't, you know, we're losing languages all the time to the point where some are becoming extinct. I dread to think that the lesbian language as such would become extinct in favour of a more homogenized idea and identity of sexuality or difference. That's what I'm concerned about.
I am too. I agree with that. I mean, I am very proudly of the lesbian identity, but I also could identify myself under the queer umbrella because, you know, I feel like I use that word and I've used that word in writing to make people feel as inclusive as possible.
Yes.
You use the word queer, which some people definitely do not like or identify as, but is just the one word that I think you can use in, especially in text, you know, and in publishing, to really say, I'm speaking to you as a lesbian, as a bisexual woman, as someone who doesn't identify as something, but definitely isn't 100% heterosexual. So,
exactly.
But I'm also aware that that using that word is very polarizing for other people. And so while I may be reaching, while I think I'm reaching more, I might be turning some others off. And I think that's difficult. It makes our community feel more divisive. And I don't like that, but I think that, you know, I was talking with someone who said, you know, gay men don't identify themselves as queer. They call themselves gay, and they're fine with that, and they're happy with that, and they don't care that it's loaded or it's, you know, been something that has been contentious in the past. But lesbians, I mean, I find I meet way more women who, in theory, the fact that they are been identified and only date other women, in theory, are lesbians or in lesbian relationships, but don't claim that word because they're afraid of what it means for them, you know, in a broader sense of the world. And I think that's sad. And I hope that one of the things we can do in the near future is sort of reclaim that as a positive and for people who are of other identities to understand that it's not being exclusive in any way, that we're not saying, you know, lesbian means bisexual isn't good or trans is bad, because that's the last thing I want to happen. But we can also exist as our lesbian identity without hopefully making other people feel like we're saying it's better than something else.
Yes, it does remind me of, you know, the actions and activities of the early 70s. I think the second wave of feminism as such, being a feminist show, you know, we examine and try to look at some of those things too. The Lavender Menace, you know, how lesbians didn't feel as included. They felt they were being overlooked inside the actual women's liberation and feminist movement. And I can understand why a lot of those women became very... lesbians, of course, became very radicalized, and how much that must have hurt. But they took that action with the Lavender Menace T-shirts, you know. Very exciting, great, very intelligent, you know, act to do. And it's almost like we need to do something like that again. I mean, I think Black Lives Matter is a great example of that initiative of saying, well, yes, all lives do matter, but actually, Black lives matter right now.
Right. And
that's where we are right now. You know, I mean, well,
exactly.
For Americans in particular.
Yes, very much so. I totally agree with that. I think that, you know, there is a politicizing around lesbian that we probably need to start with again. I mean, exactly, the Lavender Menace, I mean, those women, the women who are historically have fought for like the lesbian identity, I think that that's why they think that we're also what's the word for it, like we take them for granted, we take being lesbians for granted, we take the ability to call ourselves anything but lesbian for granted, because they work so hard to say, you know, and put themselves at jeopardy, to put their jobs and their lives at jeopardy. If they were mothers, you know, there were so many things they worked so hard for that really it was so dangerous for them to be doing at the time that we now are possibly taking for granted. I mean, it depends on where you live and all these different things, because, you know, some people obviously cannot be out. But I think the difficulty is that there's some sort of, you know, I don't want to blame it on millennials, but I think there's a big shift in identities and how we claim ourselves. And the one that has been the most left behind is lesbian in terms of the claiming and the feeling like that is a big part of who you are. I think, you know, if you're trans, you are trans, and you are, you know, most likely proud to be trans. And it is a huge part of something that you talk about as a part of your life that you do not, you don't, you know, really at a certain point question. I think for a lot of women, cis women, especially who are not sure about their sexual identity, are loath to call themselves lesbians anymore because they think that that then means they're closing themselves off from further opportunities of, say, dating a trans man or someone that doesn't necessarily fit that very small identity of what they think it means to be a lesbian. So, I mean, it's very layered.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's still a patriarchal world as well, and there's all those different layers of privilege and everything else, as you understand, of course. And then, of course, people of color and so on, and all the, you know, the barriers that are there. And I think perhaps lesbians try so hard to make everyone feel okay. You know, like we want everyone to feel good about wherever they are on the spectrum, you know. And I think we leave something of ourselves behind and no one's looking out for us. Perhaps I should have violins in the background, but I don't mean it, you know.
I know.
I'm trying not to be too depressed.
No, I mean, the thing is that I think in private we have these conversations with each other. I know I have with friends who, you know, identify as a lesbian but don't maybe even necessarily talk about it in a public sphere. Like, they would use the word queer instead, or maybe they use the word gay instead. I think it's, you know, sometimes it's treated like a dirty word. I think it's like when you look on Instagram or Tumblr, sometimes if you type in lesbian, it'll say not safe for work automatically. And it's like the way that lesbian is viewed is still like it's something very hypersexual, and, you know, it immediately goes to a place that people are imagining, you know, like, I don't know, scissoring feminine women. Like, I don't know what people are outside of the community are picturing, but I think it reflects on us as lesbians or queer women who feel like they don't want the outside world to see them in that way.
Yeah, we're still a menace, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. We're still a menace. You're so right.
That is sad. I'll try to lighten
a
bit.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah. What I was going to ask you, too, it's what you can say. Getting back to After Alan, what's happened there? Are you I mean, I saw in your thread earlier today or yesterday, might be now, just talking about looking at legal help and for yourself and, you know, for you to feel safe and for you to feel okay, where are you at the moment and what can you tell us?
Yeah.
Where you're at?
Well, when I was terminated, initially they gave me till Friday and they, you know, Evolve told me I could not post anything on the site to let the readers know what would be changing. And so I told them, you know, I'm going to be publishing something on my own social media. And they said, okay, but they couldn't really tell me otherwise. You know, I mean, I'm just telling the truth. I didn't say anything defamatory or untrue, despite what they may try to allege. We are all repeating the same information. but then after, I think they didn't expect for the backlash to be so big. I don't think they knew that people care about the site so much. I think that they thought it would be fine to have a straight guy as the new point person for this site. And so when they saw that, you know, it's been picked up by a lot of places and readers are very unhappy, that they decided that the only thing they could really do was, you know, cut me off entirely. And so I was, you know, immediately fired and told that my, you know, the 3-week severance that I had argued for was no longer. And it's been very interesting. You know, like I said, when I started there, my point person was a woman who understood things. She has, I don't want to like out somebody, but she has people in her family that, you know, would read the site. And it was something that I felt understood by the person I was working with. So I felt safe. And in this, you know, with the changes, it was very clear that I didn't have anyone that necessarily valued the actual content that we post and our readers specifically, but more, you know, how it can be monetized. And I understand this is a business, but it's more than a business to a lot of people, as they can now see.
They obviously did not have a clue. And this is the problem. They didn't know their own. They didn't know their own business, it seems, which is, you know, if this is your business, if this is the business that they want to, you know, purchase, use, make money out of, whatever, expand and grow, as they call it, growing a business, you would have thought they would know what it really means to a lot of people.
You really would. And that's you know, I have to say, though, it's so scary to me that they either didn't know or didn't care. I mean, what are the other options? That because everything that has happened since has been very much reactionary. So, you know, they hadn't prepared themselves for this kind of response. And, I mean, they can blame it on me and say that I'm misrepresenting facts, which is what they said to the Advocate. But then they reiterated the same facts, which is the site is staying up, but, you know, there's no full-time editor. And as of now, no queer women actually writing for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That is very strange. And when you look at the general manager, and it's called Totally Her Media, it just seems really weird. It's just odd.
It's very unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, we're all losing something. Even if like the fact is that it's not shutting down, I think all of us are smart enough to know that this is a loss, and it is forever going to be a changed site. It's not going to be the same. And I'm not saying this because I think that, you know, without me, it's nothing. Like,
It's not your ego.
I always thought, it's whenever I thought envisioned leaving the site, like whatever it was that I ended up doing, I always thought I'd be leaving it with someone else that was in good hands.
Pass the torch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never that it would end up like this. Never thought. So
it's very sad. I really feel for your team. How many are in the team that have now, or the sub editors and so on? How many of you are there?
Well, I have a lot of freelancers, but in terms of regular freelancers, I'd say I have about 12 of them that are very frequent, you know, like constantly writing recaps, doing interviews, movie reviews, that are working tirelessly on this, and also who have come to count on these paychecks. You know, this is part of their livelihoods, and I don't think that, you know, I think this is a problem in all media, but I think writers are less and less valued for their time and their work, and places like Huffington Post that just, you know, post things for free and expect their writers to do things for, you know, the clicks they might get. One thing I never wanted to do, I already felt like my writers were not paid enough as they should have been. Mm-hmm. But one thing I just never tried to do was cut back. Even if my budget was slashed, I did not want to pay them less, because queer women, like, we should be giving each other these opportunities to make this money, because how else are we ever going to survive and thrive and all these things? So
a great footnote that you put, and I think it was in the Advocate article the other day, was, yeah, we've got to support each other. And I think that's really, really true and very accurate for where you are. I mean, I know that our economic environment isn't so great in Australia, but we're probably 10 times better off than the majority of American women right now. And for queer women and lesbians particularly, unemployment and so on, it's a real struggle. I can imagine how awful it is. And I'm, it's a shameful situation. I'm trying to find what you said, but basically you said, even if you've got to spend the money wherever you can, for women's sites and women's business, and
Kickstarter,
you have to do that.
You know, there are great, you know, one thing that's so easy is there are websites like HelloFilms.com, for example, where you pay $3.99 a month and you can get all of their lesbian content. It's like less than Hulu or Amazon, and you're watching lesbian creative, you know, lesbian content. And, you know, the site One More Lesbian exists with all the other video content. And there are just so many opportunities that we are not capitalizing on to support one another, that I just will hope, if anything good can come out of something like this, is that we all decide, oh, wait a minute, we are going to keep losing things if we don't give this monetary support.
Yeah, yeah. You give them an inch and they take a mile or 3,000 miles or something.
Yeah, so we have to support each other. We just have to. And so many people... so many queer women are doing projects like that because it's their passion, not because they're making $1 million. And so most of the things, sorry, somebody just started doing something outside of my door. most of the things that they're doing is because of the love of it, and they might not ever profit or break even. It's something that they want to do.
Yes, and to take that away from them is like, it's like being robbed and shut out of something. And that's that's important. So I really feel for you and your team. It must be dreadful right now. So are you planning to start something up, or is it too early to think about that? Are you just trying to get through the next wee while, I guess?
I have had some people reach out and, you know, say, you should start your own site, or we should start our own site. The media climate, obviously. You know, something, it's a huge undertaking to start a new site. And, you know, one of the things that makes me so sad about brand recognition for After Ellen was, like, I feel like we had finally gotten to this place where I can go to a press conference or go somewhere and say I'm from After Ellen, and they know exactly what that is.
Yeah, the door is open.
You know, they respect it.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating, because no matter what, you know, it's going to be almost like starting over. All I can say is that I have been having some phone calls with people, and I'll probably have like some news about where I will land in the next, hopefully month. Nothing I can talk about yet, but I'm a workaholic, so it's hard for me to relax.
You got to find something to do, I know, and keep busy and all of that. That's really important. I mean, exactly. I'll let you go very shortly, but it has been fabulous to speak to you again. I wish it was happier times, but in a way, this is going to galvanize, I would hope, lesbians and queer women and bisexual women and women of color and trans women to come together and certainly try to help each other, lift each other up. Because you're right, it's nothing
to
do.
That would make it worth it.
That would make it worth it. And, you know, if something comes out of this that is positive, I really hope that does happen. Because it's global. It's, quite a few people over here were quite, feeling pretty shitty about it too. Because it's a benchmark, you know.
Yes, exactly. I'm just hopeful they keep it up. If they ever take down the archives of the site, how it is, I will be devastated because there is all of this, you know, the only place where some of this is documented is After Ellen. You know, our television and film and just any sort of like representation that we've had, since 2002. Hope it's just that stays alive.
You don't have access to that stuff? I believe, you know.
Well, it's up right now, but, you know, if they ever decided to take the site down or, you know, do something, take any of the actual stories down. Right now, I think I've had some archivists reach out to say, hey, this is how you can archive your work. You know, and like I sent it to the writers. So hopefully we can all at least save, you know, the pieces that we want to make sure, you know, stay alive somewhere, even if it's on our own websites or whatnot. But just to have, you know, because it's so much hard work. Necessary. Yeah.
That's a job in itself. Librarians,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We need more
lesbian
librarians.
I've been once.
Well, my podcast, the wonderful Jackie who podcasts the show, she's a librarian. And as soon as I knew she was a librarian, I was like, I could relax, you know. I felt, oh, good.
Yeah.
Someone who's going to be really organized.
I love librarians.
They are excellent, aren't they? Great people. And, yeah, almost as good as writers. But, look, thank you so much there, Trish Bendix, for speaking to us.
Sure.
I can't say from after Alan, or I can say ex after Alan.
I know, it's weird now. Yeah.
It is weird for you, yeah, I imagine. And just before I do let you go, I wonder if you could do a station ID, a show ID for us, just as Trish.
Sure.
Trish, sorry.
I'm Trish.
I'm Trish from... Trish. I'm Trish.
Yeah, I'm
from
Trish.
Yeah. Trish Bendix from, well, yeah, no, just Trish is great. Bendix.
Okay.
On Broad on Joy 94.9.
Okay, 94.9. I'm just typing it so I don't forget it in the moment. Okay, do you want me to go right now?
Yeah, yeah, cool. Just when you're
okay.
ready.
All right.
Thanks.
I'm Trish Bendix on Broad on Joy 94.9.
Cool, thanks. And any last messages or shout outs to anyone who wants to start a site or in Australia, what would you say to them?
Sure. I think, my hope is that queer women can find another home on the internet that is intersectional, that is inclusive of trans women and women of color, and can find a way to self-sustain and support itself so that women are in charge.
Sounds perfect. Good. We all want that,
thank
I'm
you.
Sure. Well, I know we do
awesome.
Here on Broad. Well, thank you so much. Whatever you do for the rest of your day, I hope you take.
Oh
don't forget
to. I have to go get my car oil changed.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, keep busy.
Great.
And don't forget to, you know, have a cup of tea or whatever it takes to chill a bit if you can.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thank
you. Okay. Bye-bye. And that was. Our chat to the amazing writer, editor, ex-editor now of After Alan, what was once After Alan. That was Trish Bendix. And I did find the words that Trish put up online just a couple of days ago about effectively what this means. And this means for her, this is what she said, that we must support queer women, women of colour, trans women, give other deserving women your money, your eyeballs, your attention. And I think that's a really good, you know, way to look at things in these very difficult and challenging times for people in our community who are women, who are queer women, who are lesbian, who are trans women, bisexual women, pan women as well. I think this is a difficult time, and if you're a freelance writer, it couldn't get even harder, could it? So it's very disappointing and sad that, you know, this is the outcome so far, what's happening to After Alan. It was a great site. I always tried to keep up with what was happening, whether it was something on TV, whether it was, you know, but they always came up with the good news stories too. And, you know, the positive stuff, the good positive stuff for lesbians and music, entertainment and popular culture. It will be missed. It won't be the same, for sure. And certainly to know that good women like Trish are no longer going to be helming it, man, you know, taking control, is also a real tragedy, I think, a real tragedy. So we wish her and her ex-After Alan team of writers and sub-editors and freelancers, we hope that they find something that they can get their teeth into, something that will show again their excellent talents and fortitude, and I hope they have a much better future ahead. I think it's important for our community, no matter what country we're in. So, yes, all power to them, and thank you very much for speaking to us. today, Trish Bendix. This is Sonia, Sonia Hammer for Broad on Joy 94.9.
B-R-O-A-D.
B-R-O-A-D. That's it. Yep. I had to think about that.
Yeah. It's funny because we say in American English, we say broad.
Oh, okay. Well, you say it in your American tongue.
Can I say it with an American accent?
Please. Right, yeah, please do.
Okay. This is Jamie Babbitt, the director of But I'm a Cheerleader, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Thank you. You've been listening to a broadcast on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.